Good morning. I'm Joy Cardine with you on the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. It's 9.5 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, December the 28th. We will talk this hour with State Representative Frank Lassay about a bill he plans to introduce that would fine employers in Wisconsin who knowingly hire illegal immigrants. And we will wonder if you support his efforts or not, or what questions you have. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890, 263-1890. Or send an email to talk@wpr.org. Please include your first name and your community with your email. Frank Lassay is a Republican state representative from Green Bay. He is co-author of legislation that would fine employers up to $5,000 for each illegal immigrant employed. And he joins us by telephone. Good morning.
Good morning.
So isn't this a national issue and not a state issue?
Well, it is a national issue, and it's a state issue, and it's a local issue. We have millions of illegal, I think. There's actually two terms. There are illegal aliens and illegal immigrants, those that come here and are planning to make the United States their home forever. They're immigrants. And I believe there's probably an equal number of illegal aliens who are here for 6 months to 5 years and plan on going home, wherever that may be. And when they put our kids in schools and when they use our services and when they're here in this country, I think they both behave differently. Mm-hmm. If you're going to live here for permanently, you have one attitude. If you're only here for a while and you want to get what you can get and go home, you have a different attitude. But this is a federal, state, and local issue. We have millions of them that have moved here, and they use services here. They also work here, and they support themselves generally. I believe that if we dry up the supply of public benefits and the supply of jobs, the word will get out back in their home countries that it isn't such a great idea to move here. I understand now that Wisconsin is on their list. They talk about it, and Wisconsin is one of the better states where we're more accepting, more helpful, and more easily employed here than in other states. Yeah. So we are getting an extra dose of them.
Why do you think that is? Why do you think Wisconsin is a better state for illegals?
I think because we have a generous welfare system. Even though it's work to welfare, we still are very generous. I think we often, on the local level, they are often looking the other way. Our governor has vetoed more than once bills and laws that would require checking, legal verification that they are legally here in this state and are legally eligible. That's out. Other states are verifying that they are legally in the country and legally in their state. We are not. That's one aspect of it. The other is you know, there are many large farms and processing centers, meat processing centers here in our state that employ illegals. And the word's out there, as well as other factories, and we have a fair community for that. I think that's part of the reason why they come here, and we're accepting. Our churches here are also kind of on board of helping them, and they want to help more. There's only so much you can do, and there's only so much all of us can afford, and only so much that is healthy for our economy.
Yeah. Do you think there are really that many businesses in Wisconsin that knowingly hire illegal workers?
I think there are a number of them, or they have strong suspicions. They get the documentation the federal government requires, and it doesn't quite look right, but, well, it's good enough, and the feds never verify, so what difference does it make? I need the employee. I think that goes on quite a bit, yes.
Yeah, so how would your legislation deal with this?
It would require them to keep the documentation on file and produce it for Wisconsin law enforcement. The documentation, that's the protection for the employer. That's the other part of this, that you need to actually have some knowledge that they're illegal, and then supply this information, and we can check it and verify it.
Yeah. So if an employer doesn't have documentation on file, then $5,000 fine?
Or it's an obvious misdocumentation. And the other part is the Social Security Administration is sending out letters of non-match regularly, and it would require them to keep those letters of non-match on file, and that's the other way that this verification comes about. So when they take the information and they take the documentation on the illegal worker and send it in, it's anywhere from 3 months to 9 months, they'll get a letter back from the Social Security Administration administration that says, listen, these numbers don't add up. These names and numbers aren't right. Sometimes they're a legitimate mistake. There's numbers that are transposed, but more often than not, they are just using fake Social Security numbers. And that's easy to document. That's easy to catch. And right now, many employers are just circular filing these, throwing these letters away, because there's no federal follow-up, nor any state or local follow-up either.
Our guest is Frank Lassay, a Republican state representative from Green Bay. He plans to introduce legislation that would fine employers $5,000 for each illegal immigrant knowingly employed. 1-800-642-1234, 1-800-642-1234. What do you think of this bill? Do you agree, disagree? What questions do you have? 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 17 minutes past 7 o'clock on this Friday, December the 28th. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's our Friday Week in Review. Every Friday after 8, we talk with two guests from different perspectives about the top news stories of the week. We certainly will be spending quite a bit of time on the assassination yesterday of former Pakistani Prime Minister Benazir Bhutto and the implications that has on U.S. foreign policy and the presidential race, for that matter. That's coming up after 8. This afternoon after 4 o'clock, it's Your Views on the News, the regular Friday feature during the afternoon. Gene Purcell in for Ben Marins today, talking with his guest about the week's most significant news stories. That's coming your way here on the Ideas Network. We're talking with State Representative Frank Lassay for this hour. He's a Republican state representative from Green Bay, who, along with a colleague, Representative John Nygren of Marinette, are co-introducing legislation to create penalties for employers who knowingly hire illegal immigrants. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. Under this legislation, any company that hires an illegal immigrant and does it knowingly or ignores things like the federal government's no match letter, that sort of thing, will be subject to a fine of $5,000 for each undocumented worker employed. What do you think of this? Thor in Milwaukee is with us first. Hi, Thor, you're on the air.
Thank you, Representative Lassay, for getting into the ball game. And you Republicans, you know, you gotta protect the working man also. I work 40 hours a week, and I see people. I wonder where they're actually from. I can't speak English, and I don't feel like paying for their welfare benefits for their undocumented children. The thing is, why is it only $5,000? It should be jail time and felony. Break these people off at the knees, these employers, if they employ illegals. These illegals are invaders. Remember the Alamo, okay? When those Mexicans were in charge, they butchered our people at the Alamo.
Thor, it should be tougher. Not $5,000 isn't tough enough, Representative Lassay?
Well, there's a second component to the bill as well, of the penalty aspect of it. It is $5,000 per employee, as well as a two-year prohibition on any dealings with any government in the state of Wisconsin, as well as any tax credits, any contracts, any work with a state government or a local government in Wisconsin for 2 years further. Not every company does work with Wisconsin, but there are many a variety of benefits that accrue from the state or local governments, or if they're in the business of contracting, that's a pretty big deal.
Are you doing this to protect the working stiff in Wisconsin?
I'm doing it for a variety of reasons, and the working stiff and the taxpayer, really, this is what it's about in our economy. I don't really believe that we can afford the other aspect, and there are studies out that claim that they add a lot more than they take. The fact is that many of them have a lot of children, more than one or two. They go to our schools. We're spending about $11,000 per kid, and when they come to school without a good background education or speaking English very well, that $11,000 $50,000 is skewed much higher than that. So even if they have two or three kids in our school system at $15,000 or $20,000 a kid, we are paying a lot as taxpayers, and that's working Joes and Janes. The other aspect is it erodes the working man's ability to get better wages because of the competition at the low end of the scale from people who are willing to work for less because they don't have many skills.
You know, Thor, I'm going to draw attention to what he just said. What do you think of his comments that these Mexicans are invading the U.S.?
Well, you know, there's a reason why we're feeling this way. I saw some stats, and, you know, he really kind of brings a lot of emotion to it. I saw some statistics from 1996 to 2006, in 10 years, our minority population in Wisconsin nearly doubled. In Illinois, it did double. Mm-hmm. And it's growing rapidly. That's in 10 years. And it isn't from natural reproduction. It's from people moving here. And I welcome minorities. And all of us, and, you know, my family included, moved here. And many of them were persecuted when they first came. I hopefully we aren't persecuting people who are immigrating here. Having said that, I think there's a feeling because you go places and it's obvious everybody there is from someplace else, and they don't speak English, and it's happened very, very, very rapidly. And, you know, that's what I think is tapping in on this, is people are seeing this and going, oh, my goodness, the school where I sent my kid or the school that I went to now is 80% Mexican or Spanish speaker. They may not all be Mexicans. And that bothers people. And you go to certain places of work, and you go, geez, a generation ago, you know, it was, you know, my family worked here, and now, you know, they all speak Spanish.
Yeah. And it bothers them that these folks might be working in the meatpacking plant because they want to be working there instead?
Well, that's one part of it. The other part of it is there's six children that are going to the Green Bay school system. And we're paying $15,000 for six of them. That's $90,000. That, you know, $18,000 or $20,000 a year job at the meatpacking factory, if it's paying that, isn't covering the cost for that, nor is their tax bill that they're paying covering the cost for that.
Yeah. Erica in Sheboygan is with us now. Hi, Erica.
Hello.
Hi, Erica.
Hi. My question to you would be, I mean, considering that the tax credit to Wisconsin farmers is already so diminished, I'm wondering who it is that you think is going to staff these farms. I mean, clearly, and meatpacking facilities, I guess if I could change my question a bit, in regard to your last question, you know, people go into these jobs that their families had generations ago, now they're all Spanish-speaking. However, those are the jobs that people work so that they could send their kids to college and get better jobs. These were jobs that they intended to abandon. So I'm wondering who's going to staff the family farm in the meatpacking industry then?
Well, I think that a couple things will happen. I think that we'll all end up paying a bit more for our meat and our milk, and they'll end up paying more to attract the workers that they need to go and work there. I mean, that is the law of supply and demand. So right now, if you can get cheap labor, you'll get the cheap labor and you'll use it. I know there's problems on the farms, bigger farms particularly, although I know other farmers that do it with a number of part-time people who are younger and are happy to have the jobs and the work. So there are ways of doing it. But I think that ultimately they'll have to pay more to attract the kind of American workers that'll do that work. And we'll have to pay more at the meat counter or when we buy our strawberries or whatever else we buy. And that's more honest than taxing us all a lot more to pay for their kids who are going to our schools that are a real drain on our resources.
Thanks very much, Erica, for the call. Next, we go to Joe in Superior. Hi, Joe.
Good morning.
Good morning.
Boy, I just like to say, really backing you 100% on this. I think a real fine example is California. Look at the mess they're in right now.
I don't think it's good for our overall economy in the long term to do this. I think immigration is good, but it needs to be regulated and controlled in a reasonable fashion. I also think on the federal level, and this is very much a federal issue, not a state, is that we need a guest worker program, not a guest family program. I think that when people want to come here, that illegal group that's going to go back home, and that they should have a guest worker program, not a guest family program. Those guest families cost us a tremendous amount of money, and as taxpayers, and then add a whole bunch of extra work to the system that we really don't need.
Yeah. When this debate was on the front burner nationally, I remember there being calls for some sort of better identification for immigrants because they were saying that, you know, workers could present papers, have falsified papers that employers just didn't know. You're saying that that employers do know when they're presented with falsified papers?
Sometimes they do, and I've heard from employers that they have gotten word back from their legal advisors that they can't question them when things don't look quite right, which is just absurd in my mind that, you know, if I went to a bank and presented them with faulty identification, they'd certainly question me before they do business with me. There's no reason an employer shouldn't do that. And then, like I said earlier, when they get the letter of no match, that the Social Security number doesn't match the name, they toss that away or file it because there's no follow-up. And that's a very strong red flag. That's a big indicator. This is wrong. Some employers pass that letter along and ask their employees to explain. And they said universally within a week or two, those employees disappear. They hire new ones then. So there are ways of checking it. That was part of the debate. Some of that, I think, was just to put it off. Really, we have things in place. All we need to do is enforce the law. The feds aren't doing it. That's what this is about. The federal government isn't doing their job, unfortunately, and we pay a tremendous tax burden to them to do their job. I think they should, but they're not, so the state can step up and make it a little less friendly so that the word gets out that, hey, if you're gonna come up to the United States and move in, don't go to Wisconsin, go someplace else.
TJ in Madison, hi, you're on the air.
Good morning, happy holidays.
You good phone. Morning.
I think the average working Joe and Jane, of which I'm one, and my wife is one also, we would be in favor of the legislation. And our problem with immigrants is the illegality of the large majority of them. I mean, I'm only third generation. My family waited, paid, to get into this country, and when we've got a porous border from the north and the south coming in, I mean, and it is doing exactly what the legislation is proposing to try to help curb. It is dropping the wages down. People are being displaced out of their jobs that have been in jobs for 10, 15, 20 years in order for people to be hired at a lesser wage, with lesser benefits. And I guess, you know, people that are in denial of this haven't had it happen to themselves or their family members, then we need to get a grip on this. We need to close the borders up, and we need to, you know, increase the amount of people that could illegally come here if that's what is needed. But short of that, the people that are here illegal need to be rounded up and deported.
Yeah, what about
the laws?
Yeah. All right. Well, that's beyond the scope of your legislation, though, isn't it, Representative?
No, it isn't. But if they can't access public benefits, if they can't use our welfare system, and they can't get a job, I think that in a short order they'll decide to go home on their own, and it mm-hmm. saves us the problem of deporting them. I firmly believe that, and it makes perfect sense. And I think that's what will happen. And that's part of what this is all about, is to slow down this influx of illegals. The United States can't afford to solve the world's problems for everyone. We certainly can help, and we should. And there's another aspect of it. With them all coming here, how are they going to repair and fix their own country? That's the other aspect. We are draining off people who want to work and will work, who should be doing it in their own country and building their own country.
We're going to check news, and then we'll be back and talk more with State Representative Frank Lassay. This is the Ideas Network. You're listening to the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio. I'm Joy Cardine. It's 7:36 on this Friday, December the 28th. We're talking this hour with State Representative Frank Lassay, a Republican state representative from Green Bay, co-author of legislation that would fine employers $5,000 for each illegal immigrant they employ. Employers who knowingly hire illegal immigrants would face these penalties, and we welcome your thoughts and questions for him, whether you agree or not with this legislation. 1-800-642-1234. 1-800-642-1234. In Madison, 263-1890. Jim in Lincoln County is our next caller. Hi, Jim. You're on the air.
Hi. I disapprove of this legislation. I think that if you substitute the word Jew or black or any other minority, it really becomes a reflection of what I would consider a Hitlerian model of well-meaning, though it may be, just something that's going to persecute one particular group of people, and I think we're a bigger country than that.
Yeah, Jim, this is fining employers for hiring, so that's persecuting a certain group of people?
You know, all you have to do is read the history of how the Nazi movement worked to persecute the Jews, and this is the kind of language that was put in place.
Yeah. Well, what's your reaction to that, Representative Lissette?
Well, I'm curious how Jim feels about American citizenship and the right of citizens versus everyone else in the world. Perhaps he envisions a world without borders and without countries. I don't quite understand that. Relating someone's illegality here to persecution, I don't really get that.
Yeah.
Do you have a comment, Jim?
Do you want me to respond?
It took you while I thought we lost you. Go ahead.
Mm-hmm. Sure. That's the language that you would use, but really the reason that we have the scenario that is playing out is the protection of the individuals who are in the country, protections from the Constitution. And that you have to do a little more reading on. If someone is in this country, legally or illegally, they have protection, they have constitutional protections. And this is why you're arguing with the federal government. You know, because there are constitutional protections for all people who are in this country.
So your interpretation is that if you can get in our country by hook or crook or parachute in, then you're a citizen and have all the rights of a citizen.
No, I didn't say that. What I did say is that if someone is in this country, they have protections, they have constitutional protections that are employed. They certainly do,
and this is legal under the law.
Yeah, I mean, I appreciate the call, Jim, but we're going to move on to other callers who are waiting. Steve and Toma, hi, you're on the air.
Hey, how you doing?
Good morning, Steve.
Hey, I'm from Indiana area. And we've had this problem ever since I was growing up as a kid, and that's 47 years. And the big business down there, they like to use them to bust up unions, things of that nature, bring them in as strike workers, things of that nature. And I could go on this problem for hours. I mean, I moved to Wisconsin from Indiana because of that, and I see the same thing starting to head up this way now. And it's I got nothing against the people that are working, but we've got too many of them now. They're keeping the wages down. I mean, company doesn't have to pay a price for an American worker when they can go get somebody else to do it. You know, and I wanted to correct the caller from earlier caller. When he said, remember the Alamo, I want him to remember that we were invading Mexico at that time.
Well, all right. Anyway, Steve, I think, supports your legislation saying, I don't know, I guess I feel strange when I hear people saying we have too many of them. Every Hispanic working in Wisconsin is not an illegal immigrant, right, Frank Lissette?
No, they certainly aren't. There are many legal here, and I've heard from many of the legal immigrants who are here, whether they're Hispanic or elsewhere, who are actually quite upset by the fact that there are so many illegals here because they did it the right way. They waited in line. They took the time. They did the things right. And in fact, it sort of degrades them, they feel, to some extent from the ones I've talked to, because now people look at it and think they're here illegally too, just like these other ones, because there are a large portion are illegal, I believe. And then the other part is interest going to that caller was talking about the protection under the Constitution. Unlike the European countries, when you get here and you have a child, they're automatically an American citizen. That's very unlike any of the European countries, where if you're in the country illegally and have a child, your child doesn't get to be a German citizen or a French citizen. You have to go through the proper channels, or you don't just get to get the citizenship. I think citizenship should mean some things, and that's part of the problem. Is we've got this, you know, illegal immigration and the illegal, and you know, the media successfully turned it into all about immigration. They're not all immigrants. Many are here to take money for a while, send it home, or save money and then go back home. And I don't blame them for it. Anybody wants to better their life, that's great. I mean, and I understand why they're coming here, and that I can understand why they as individuals want to do that. I think it's really up to us to dry up the supply of jobs and the welfare benefits, so it's not such a good idea for them.
Yeah. What kind of reaction are you getting, Representative Lassay, from the business community or your constituents who are employers?
It depends. If they're employing many illegals, they're not very happy about this, quite honestly. Really, many of our big farms have mainly illegals working on them. White folks don't want to work for that wage. I've talked to others who say, I'm doing just fine by hiring high school students and college students who want the job and are happy to milk earlier and later and like that kind of work. So there are other ways of doing it, but some of them are not real happy about it because they're employing them and it works for them. And my answer to them is, you know what, you're going to have to raise the cost of your goods, you're going to have to pay more and offer more benefits, and you'll still attract workers and it'll be okay.
Next we go to Bernie in Whitewater. Hello.
Good morning. I agree with the guest 100% on everything he's saying. I think an earlier caller confused constitutional rights with the benefits of citizenship. This whole thing is about cheap labor. The big corporations want cheap labor. It's dragging down the quality of labor's benefits in this country. I'm an advocate, for example, for single-payer national health. And if you look at it and you say we're going to have 10 or 20 million going on whatever number of million illegal people, that makes it all the harder for the taxpayers to fund programs like national health. I think that all illegal immigrants should be deported. I think their kids should be deported. I don't think their kids should be U.S. citizens. And I believe these corporations should get, the big corporations like Walmart, it should be $10 million a fine. And after five fines, yank their corporate charter. You can't do enough to get rid of this problem. If we were serious, we could stop it.
Well, his last comment is very true. If we get serious, we can stop it. And right now, the federal government and our legislators there aren't serious. And part of it's tied up in this big business. They think that, and it will have ramifications on our economy, and I think we should be doing this over a period of time and not overnight as well, that we up enforcement and dry up the supply and allow businesses the time to adjust, because that is what it'll take.
Thank you, Bernie. Lenny in Madison. Hi, Lenny.
How you guys doing?
Good morning, Lenny. Good.
Go ahead, Lenny.
To me, this is I've been listening to, since I called, I've been listening to some of the comments that have been made. And first of all, there's about 12 million illegals in the U.S., the estimate. My estimation is there's more like about 20 million. You're not going to deport them all. Second of all, this is a civil rights issue, too. And let me tell you, somebody mentioned African-Americans. And just not too long ago, Joy had a program about the incarceration rates in Wisconsin.
Yeah.
Now, maybe nobody's really thought of this, but don't you find it really funny how the same people that are stirring this thing up about immigration are the same people who basically benefit from illegal immigration? They're the same people that make up the federal laws and most of your state laws, and they're the same people who affect a whole nation of people that are American citizens that happen to be
Lenny,
who do you
think belong
benefits
to the working poor and labor?
Lenny,
Lenny,
hold on. Lenny, you're not
like
listening,
some of the
are
callers
you?
Have said. I don't agree with the hard line. I don't agree with being...
Well, I'm going to give you time to respond, Representative Lassay, since he's not listening. And
yeah.
We have a weather break coming up, so I can't make it go on much longer.
But I really would have been interested in hearing who Lenny thought was benefiting from this illegal immigration, illegal alien problem or issue. He had mentioned some people benefiting are the same ones who are... Mm-hmm. I wasn't quite getting it, so...
Yeah, well, let's think about it over the weather break and then take more calls for Frank Lassay, a Republican state representative from Green Bay, co-author of legislation that would penalize employers for knowingly hiring illegal immigrants. 1-800-642-1234 in Madison, 263-1890. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network. This is the Ideas Network. I'm Joy Cardine. Coming up after 8 o'clock, it's the Friday Week in Review. We will talk with today John Smart and Dave Blaska about the top political stories of the week. That's our Week in Review after 8 o'clock. Right now, we're talking with Frank Lassay, a Republican state representative from Green Bay. We're talking with him about legislation that he is co-authoring that would penalize employers in Wisconsin for knowingly hiring illegal immigrants. A $5,000 fine for each illegal is one of the penalties. What do you think of this legislation? Deborah in Milwaukee. Hi, you're on the air.
Hi, thanks for talking taking the call. I am deeply offended by this legislation and a lot of the discussion that's come up around this. I think we're not putting it in historical context and, you know, in the context of our broader policy, economic policy. There's been a surge of immigration in the U.S. since starting NAFTA. And NAFTA has devastated the Mexican middle class and a lot of the Mexican working class. It's also been very damaging to the working class in the United States. And that's why people are immigrating here, not because they want to leave their homes, but because they want to support their families. And yes, they're bringing their families because it's very difficult for them to leave their families.
Yeah, so why are you offended, Deborah?
I'm offended by the tone that, you know, these immigrants and we can't solve the world's problems. You know, we have to stop creating a lot of the world's problems. So if we pass this legislation, one, it's going to be devastating to our economy because we are dependent on all these workers that come from Mexico. It's going to destroy Mexican families. I think the focus needs to be on changing our economic policy. It needs to be on, we need legislation that's going to force our employers to pay living wages. We need to encourage people to unionize. And we need to punish companies that are taking their jobs overseas. That's what's hurting our working class, not the immigrants.
Yeah, well,
I think
no, all the things you just said, and you made the statement earlier that somehow NAFTA has not only hurt workers and the economy in the United States, but it's done the same to Mexico. I don't know. How do you figure that?
Well, I don't know. Do the research, but everyone that I know that's knowledgeable, people at the university I've talked to in economics, you know, that's been very clear. I've talked to labor people from Mexico, and they've all said that that's very clear. We have, you know, they're losing a lot of their business because now, you know, the U.S. is able to import products that are subsidized, and the companies in Mexico that were creating those products now are out of business.
Because
so that's part of it.
Those jobs have actually moved to cheaper labor yet, like China and Brazil and other places. Mexico has some of the same problems that we have here, just like 7 out of 10 jobs that leave Wisconsin go to another state when it becomes too costly, labor and the production moves, although we have plenty of jobs and things here. But
What about Deborah's contention that if legislation like yours passes, it's going to devastate the economy here?
I don't believe that at all. I think it does certainly will have an effect, but I don't believe that at all. I think that when you bring a large family here with extra needs language, not the background of education, put them into our school systems, and we end up paying $15,000 or more per kid, and they work for, you know, $7, $8, $9, $10 an hour with no benefits, and then their kids at least access our medical system through Medicaid and other public benefits. They're taking much more out of the tax dollars, and we're all paying for that on that side of things. And that, like I said earlier, I think that for some areas like meat and milk and others, we'll end up having to pay more for those goods when we buy them, when they end up paying more for the labor to produce them or the technology to replace the labor that is being done. You can't use technology for everything. So I think it'll have an effect, most certainly. It won't devastate our economy by any means. We're a country of nearly 300 million people, and at the high side, we're talking about 20 million people who are generally at the lower end of the economic scale. You know, that I don't buy that at all. In fact, I think it would help the American worker. I think it would help all of us here in our country. I think it would be a help. I think they need to do it legally. I think immigration is great. People from backgrounds who come here want to work, wonderful. But I think they need to do it legally and properly. And again, I'd go back and say the feds need to have a realistic, workable, reasonable guest worker program, not guest family program.
Mark in McHenry, Illinois. Hi.
Good morning, and I wish that we had someone proposing that kind of legislation down here, too. I greatly support it. The crux of the problem is the employer, and if there were appropriate sanctions levied against employers, then the individuals who are here illegally would basically self-deport. They would it would dry up the incentive, and I wondered how long it was going to take for the cries of racism and Hitler and all that nonsense to begin. Mexico, for instance, which is, by the way, the wealthiest country in Latin America because of oil and many other factors, routinely when they have individuals coming up from Central America across their border, escort them straight to the border and out. And when they bring their families and when they have children in Mexico, they are still escorted to the border and ejected. Now, the cries of racism when people complain about the impact, real impacts of illegal immigration on our country, are simply being made to shut up the debate, shut off the debate, to shame people who have legitimate grievances about the illegality of what's going on and the failure of the federal government to respond.
All right. Representative Lissay?
I agree with him 100%. He raises a very interesting point, and it goes back to the previous caller talking about racism. Mexico is doing exactly that. Mexico has this exact same problem in southern Mexico, cheap labor flooding over the border from Central and South America. There are people who are even poorer who will work for even cheaper wages, and you know what? Some of them bypass Mexico and keep on coming, and they're competing here. That's why I said earlier they're not all Mexican. They're Spanish speakers, and you know, again, the economies in some of these other places are so poor that anything is better than what they've got there, and it takes away the impetus to fix their economies, their countries, implement the rule of law, and bring up a middle class there by leaving them come to the United States.
Thanks, Mark. Jennifer in Madison is next. Hi.
Hi. Good morning.
Good morning.
The last couple callers have addressed this, but I still feel like part of this debate needs to focus on racism and class and what that brings to all of this historically. I mean, I grew up in Wisconsin, and I remember people used to talk about all the quote-unquote people from Illinois coming up for the great welfare benefits. And if those people had been Polish or German, I don't think it would have been as much of an issue as the fact that they were African-American, typically, demographically. And my question, I guess, for you is you can quote a lot about how the minority population and how it's doubled in Wisconsin, but my question is, do you know what the Caucasian population that has emigrated from other states and gone on the welfare roll is? And in terms of social class, I mean, I guess a lot of the people that do emigrate legally tend to not be from the lower classes. They tend to be from the middle class. And I guess all of us historically, based on our identity as immigrants, most of the people that came here were not from the middle or upper classes where they came from. They were from the lower classes. And so
I'm not
disagreeing with all your ideas, and I think it is definitely, in terms of the immigration, we do have to address it. But I think that I would like to have a more nuanced discussion of how class and race do play into it, because I think they're huge.
Well, I think we've been talking about it a lot, but Representative Lissay.
The difference is the waves of immigrants, like my ancestors, the Irish, or even some of the Germans that came, were poor. They came here, but they came legally. They came through Ellis Island. They came through the legal channels. They immigrated. Many of them faced persecution when they came, even though they were the same skin color. They had a different language or a different upbringing, so they were persecuted or looked down upon and had to make their way, and they did. And then their future generations succeeded, and I'm certain that our Spanish-speaking immigrants are going to do some of the same things. The difference is they're legal. They followed the legal channels. They didn't just jump the border. They didn't just show up. They didn't parachute in and then expect to be taken care of or get a job and then expect their kids to have all the benefits and learn all this and learn how they can tap all these benefits that our country enjoys and has to pay for. And we're having trouble paying for all of what we have. And that's part of what this is about. I believe, again, it goes back to the labor, and it isn't healthy. And it is wrong that they are coming here illegally. We need to put a stop to it. The fence is only so good, and it's not. I don't think that's really going to solve the problem. You need to dry up the supply of welfare and jobs, and then they'll start to stay home, and then they can fix their own economies.
Yeah. In our final minute, what's next with your bill?
It's circulating for co-sponsorship right now. I hope to get a number of my colleagues in both houses of the legislature to co-sponsor this. There's similar legislation offered by a Democrat in the Senate, Roger Bresky, which will be helpful. So I'm hoping to get co-sponsors and work on this legislation over the next 3 months. And if we're fortunate enough to get it through the legislature, perhaps the governor would sign it.
Happy New Year.
Thank you. Happy New Year to you and everyone else listening.
Frank Lissay, Republican State Representative from Green Bay, co-author of this legislation that would penalize employers with a fine of $5,000 for each illegal immigrant knowingly employed by that employer. Thanks to Karen Prager for producing this hour. Thank you for listening, and I hope you stay tuned. I'm Joy Cardine. This is the Ideas Network of Wisconsin Public Radio.